Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. I'm a few minutes late. I apologize. Having technical difficulties again this evening. This is Louis Patron saying hello out there, my fine world. I am bringing you this evening Tuesday Talk with Key West Lou. What a week it has been, a hell of a week. A lot of things happening, making for exciting things to talk about tonight. If you wish to join me, if you have a comment to make, if you want to agree, disagree, tell me I'm crazy, tell me I'm right. Give me a call. The guest call-in, as you can see on the screen, is 646-478-5731. 646-478-5731. I am always happy to hear from you. The first thing we're going to talk about is transgenderism. Transgenderism, you're going to get to hear that word over the next 10 years. You're going to hear it as much as you heard same-sex marriage for the past 10 years. It is an old term. It's not new to our vocabulary, but it's come into prominence. And it came into prominence this week because of Bradley Manning, the military person, 25-year-old military person who leaked to WikiLeaks, over 700,000 pages of secure, secret American documents. He was arrested. He spent 2 years in a military jail awaiting trial. He went on trial. He was found guilty, and he was sentenced this past week to 35 years in jail. And it'll be a military penitentiary, Fort Leavenworth. 2 weeks after he was sentenced, 2 days rather, his lawyer appeared on the Today Show in the morning and read a statement by his client or from his client, Bradley Manning. And in it, Bradley said, in effect, I don't want to be a man anymore. I want to be a woman. He said, the real me, I quote unquote, is a woman. My name no longer is Bradley. It is now Chelsea, and I wish to be addressed as Chelsea henceforth. He said, and I quote, I am a female. I am a female. He also said that he wanted hormone therapy to begin immediately or as soon as possible. Now, let's understand first and foremost what we're talking about with a transgender for the one or two who may never have heard of it. A transgender is a person of one sex who believes they should be another, the other sex. In other words, a person with a man's body, yet internally he believes that he is really a woman, and he wants to be a woman physically, therefore, to go with his mental person. Or a woman who appears to be a woman, but inside she is a man and she wants to be transformed into a man. So in the case of a man who wants to be a woman, we have to give him breasts and we have to remove his penis, castrate him, and give him a vulva. In the case of the woman who wants to be a man, we have to remove her breasts and we have to give her a penis. And there are a lot of people out there like this. And the way you start the process is by hormone therapy in the case of a male who wants to be a female, and that is what Bradley Manning wants to do. He wants to become a female, and so he said, I assume or I anticipate that I'm going to get hormone therapy while I am in jail. Well, before the day was over, a spokesman for the United States military at Fort Leavenworth is, again, where Bradley Manning would be staying for the next 35 years, said, no way, Jose, the government is not going to pay for his hormone therapy. Well, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to find this interesting. I am telling you that the government, with your taxpayer dollars and mine, are going to pay not only for his hormone therapy, but also a sex change operation if he needs it. And why is this so? Well, we have a crazy court system. We're coming out with more and more strange decisions. I don't know if this is a strange one. Unfortunately, when I think about the 30 million people who do not have hospitalization, who do not have medical insurance, and cannot get good, proper medical care in this country, I say, this nut, put him in jail and let him be the woman inside his man's body for the next 35 years. Then there are those persons who have insurance, but it isn't adequate, and with co-pays and everything else, they can't get the kind of care they need. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States said in their divine wisdom, and I don't necessarily agree with this decision, that prisoners are entitled to adequate medical care, quote unquote, adequate medical care. Well, adequate medical care has been defined to mean the best medical care. And if you don't give it to a prisoner, adequate medical care, it is cruel and inhuman treatment, cruel and unusual treatment in violation of the Eighth Amendment to the United States Constitution. Again, I don't agree with this decision, but that's the law of the land. It's just the way it is, as the court said in its decision. Just as a prisoner may starve if not fed, he or she may suffer or die if not provided adequate medical care. Okay, so moving on here, we have what we call a gender identity disorder. You're in one body and want to be in another body, and the doctors, the psychiatrists, and the psychologists are in agreement that a gender identity disorder results in severe emotional distress. Severe emotional distress, that is a physical disability, that is a physical ailment. Now, to make this even more interesting, state and federal jails have already provided hormone therapy and sex change operations to civilian prisoners, state prisons, federal prisons. The one distinction here is that Bradley Manning is in a military jail, Fort Leavenworth. Will this make any difference because it's a military jail as opposed to a civil jail? I say absolutely not. Because he's in jail, jail's jail, and he still is entitled to adequate medical care, we're not going to let this poor man suffer, according to the Supreme Court of the United States, for 35 years or the rest of his life. He wants to be a girl. We're going to see that he becomes a girl. All right? Now, let's go into the politics of all this. It gets more interesting. The politics of all this. Would you believe that several hundred years ago, American Indians, Canadian Indians, and even Native Mexicans, there weren't two genders in their society. There were three genders. There was male, female, and transgenders, people who were in the wrong body. American Indians, Canadian Indians, Mexican Natives all believed and recognized this third gender, okay? Now, how's this flying in the United States? What's happening? Well, I'll tell you, a week ago yesterday, just 8 days ago, in California, Governor Brown signed a law, a new law. And guess what the law said? Students, grammar school and high school in the state of California are permitted to decide which restroom and which locker room to use. In other words, if a student has a problem, a boy thinks he's a girl, he can go to the girls' room and use it. He doesn't have to go to the boys' room, and vice versa. Well, this has created a big furor. There's a Democrat who wants to run against Brown for governor. His name's Tom Damiano. He's a state assemblyman. He calls this the right to be Oogle law. Well, I think he's off on a kick. I really don't see it that way. But he pulled his youngest child out of school, okay, because he thought it would be inappropriate for a girl to come into the boys' room when his son was in there. And he also was worried about what's going to happen when we have raging hormones amongst young children. I think he's coming from a political perspective, Damiano, because he wants to be governor. He has to disagree. Let me tell you why this is a political issue and will remain a political issue and will be a hot thing just as same-sex marriages were. In the state of California, the largest state in the union, almost 2% of the population are transgenders. In the entire United States, there have been six recent studies, and those studies all indicated the same thing. 3% of our population, that means over 700,000 people in the United States, are transgenders. Well, this is a lot of people that have a problem like this, and it's something that the government must look at and recognize. I can understand this from a political perspective, large number of people, okay? Just as homosexuals came out of the closet and we got into same-sex marriage, transgenders now, people who don't want to be the sex they look like, they're coming out of the shadows. I see this as a major civil rights issue, just like the gender rights, male, female, other civil rights, the rights of people of color. This is going to be a recognized civil right. That transgenders are to be treated equally like everyone else. And in the next 10 or 15 years, I see a Supreme Court decision coming down to that effect. So the bottom line, my friends, and the reason I have gone through all this tonight is to let you know that your tax dollars are going to pay for Bradley Manning's hormonal therapy to get breasts. And if he wants to get rid of his penis and have a vulva, we're going to pay for a sex change operation also, because that's the law and that's the way it's going in our country today. All right, let's move over now to Syria. Syria is a serious problem. This chemical weapons, you know, it bothers me. Chemical weapons, they have been used, they say. Well, remember the crock we were handed under the Bush administration? Weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. President Bush, Cheney, I have seen, we know there are weapons of mass destruction. We got in there, what was there? We went to war in Iraq. We lost all of these American lives. American soldiers killed, maimed. For what? There were no weapons of mass destruction. How our government and President Bush and Vice President Cheney could have made this mistake with all their intelligence operations and everything else, I don't know. I think they had their own reasons for wanting to go to war with Iraq. But that's yesterday. Let's talk today, Syria. Now they're saying there are chemical weapons in Syria. And they've been used by Assad, the president of Syria. Syria's engaged in a big civil war. Okay, let's face it. Assad and his people are hated by the rebels and vice versa. The rebels consist of terrorists, Al-Qaeda, and some good people who just don't like Assad. Everybody's mixed together. Nothing's different in Syria than it was 2,000 years ago or 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago. You got religious fanatics and other people fighting for control. All they know how to do is fight. Now, we're getting sucked into this, okay? And we're getting sucked in because, my God, if he used chemical weapons, that's terrible, and we must show Assad he must never do that again. We must make an example of Assad, and we've got to go in there. We're not going to get involved in the war, we're being told, but we're going to go in there, or we may go in there. The decision hasn't been announced yet, though I believe it has been made. We are going to go in there, and we're just going to maybe take out his Air Force or take out some factories or something or some places where they store this stuff, and that's it. No ground troops. Well, something's wrong in this country, and I'll tell you what it is. What I'm going to say applies whether Assad used chemical weapons or not. I really don't care. I care about the people if he used chemical weapons. But I don't think it's right for the United States of America to do anything militarily towards him. And why is that? I have always been of the opinion and the understanding that in order for the United States to go to any type of war, there has to be a danger to our national interest. Our national interest in danger. Where is our national interest in danger today with what's going on in Syria? No way. Absolutely no way. All we want to do is go in and punish Assad for what he didn't get out, we're saying. Well, that's a pretty dangerous thing to do, especially since we don't know who's going to win the civil war. It's pretty well 50-50 each side, and we don't know who's going to win. You've got war hawks in the Senate and Congress, like Senator McCain and Senator Lindsey Graham. They've wanted soldiers in there for 6 months. They want boots on the ground, joining with the rebels to fight the dictator Assad. And as I said on this show about a year ago, and as I said in a written column about 6 months ago in Conk Life, if they want it so bad, let them go be the first boots, the first American boots, the first American footsteps in Syria. It's about time the old men who run this country, it's the only way I can say, think about the people who run this country in Washington, the old men who don't have to fight anymore, their day has passed them. They're not going to go fight at 60, 70 years old. The young American troops go and die, not them. If they are so hell-bent on us going to war in a place like Syria, and they're always hell-bent on us going to war every place, it seems, in this world where there's a problem, we have to watch over everybody. We're the big brother of the United States. Let them go and fight. Leave our young people alone, our men and women. Very simple. Now, it's being claimed that if we go to Syria, it's going to be a limited thing like it was in Libya. We sent some planes in and we bombed the right places and Gaddafi was out of business. You never know. This is a bigger situation and the Middle East is full of crazy people. I do not have to tell you that. The United States cannot afford to be the world's guardian, okay? And again, I repeat, because this is big, I feel strongly, we should not send our young to die in wars that are not involved with our national interest. We are in no danger with whatever the result's going to be in Syria. Okay, that's my point. Now, Russia and China don't agree with us. This is going to be interesting. I believe, number one, China. We should be friends with China all the time now. We're the big guy on the street right now, but China's right behind us. They've got more people than us. They're getting industrialized. Maybe in 20 years, they're going to be numero uno in the world. We should be on the same side together. And I think this can be worked out as we go along. I think just as a matter of I don't want to get involved, I'm not going to take any sides, I'm saying stay out. China's just doing what they think might be right, or they really don't care, and they took a position. Russia is the problem in this situation. Now, Russia says there's going to be big trouble if the United States, England, or France, or anyone goes into Syria and attacks Syria, which he means Assad, because Putin in Russia supports Assad. There's more than meets the eye here. Remember, this is a civil war. There's more than meets the eye here, though. There is a pissing match, and that's the only way it can be described. There is a pissing match going on between Russia's Putin and Saudi Arabia's Prince Bandar. Now, Russia, when it was Soviet Russia, was a big dominating influence in the world. But since the Soviet Union collapsed and all the little countries making up the Soviet Union left, Russia is a small entity. They are not the power they were yesterday. The only thing that makes Russia, there are two things that make Russia powerful. One, they've got to vote on the Security Council to veto anything because they are a permanent member. The other is they got a stockpile of nuclear weapons. Because they were equal to us in those years where we were having conflict, the Cold War with Russia, they were building nuclear weapons, we were building nuclear weapons, and they got a shitload of them, excuse the way I put them, and we got them, and they can cause trouble anywhere in the world if they decide to use them. That gives them power, that gives them strength. Now, what is really going on? From what I understand, it has to do with oil. Yeah, would you believe it? We went into Iraq, I believe, for oil. And if we go with, we're getting stuck in Syria. I don't think Obama wants to be in there, but he may be stuck. Here's what the story is. Saudi Arabia is running out of oil. We know that in less than 20 years, they will not have any more oil to sell. And if they don't, their oil will be exhausted. How are they going to make money, these people? These so-called kings and princes of Arabia have lived like kings and queens all these years over the profit, the big profit they make on the gasoline you and I buy at the pump. And that's going. Well, they got to replenish the supply. They got to have a favorable supply coming to them. Syria has a lot of oil. No question. Syria's got a lot of oil under the ground. Russia happens to have a lot of oil also. You got to remember this. Russia is a petrol-run society today. Well, Prince Bandar, because he's the new power, though he's not numero uno in Saudi Arabia, he is the growing, and he is the new power in Saudi Arabia. Yeah, he is the modern leader, and he's gotten into a match with Putin that isn't any good, I'm going to tell you. Because he says, we want, in Saudi Arabia, we've got to take over. He wants, you know, the allies to go in and get rid of Assad. So the Arabs, Saudi Arabia, can exert influence and take control of the natural gas deposits in Syria and also put in a pipeline in Syria so those deposits can be taken out of Syria. And, of course, Putin says, no, this was a calm, gentlemanly discussion at one point. Finally, Bandar, thinking he had a heavy hand, said, look, Putin, if anyone attacks Syria, and by that I mean Assad, we're going to send Chechens in, terrorists in, when you, next February, you, Russia, have the Olympics, the Winter Olympics. We're going to cause terrorists to be bombing everything. We're going to raise hell in Russia and screw up your Olympics because you didn't do what we wanted you to do. So Putin, this is a slap in his face. He isn't going to take this stuff. He is the head of Russia, even though it isn't the Russia of old. He's still got strength. He's still got power. He's got a veto, and he's got a ton of nuclear weapons. And he says if there is a massive military strike against Assad and into Saudi Arabia, Russia's going to get involved. So the pissing match is between Russia and Saudi Arabia. We're stuck in the middle. Saudi Arabia is purportedly our friend. Though I got to say this, most of the terrorists who, 9/11, who drove those planes into the World Trade Center were from Saudi Arabia. Would you believe it? Yes, it's true. You know it and I know it. And Russia, we try to make friends with Russia, but Putin keeps being a pain in the ass. He keeps wanting to build the image of Russia. So today's Russia will be the Russia of old, which doesn't seem to be happening, and I don't think it will happen. So we're on a war course over here because one guy says to the other, I'm going to screw up your Olympics. The other one says, if you dare to put a foot into Syria militarily, there's going to be a massive military strike. And what we're not being told in this country is the Arabs got the Arabs got a pretty good air force. We supplied it. We trained it. They've got their people ready on the border, and Russia's got getting their people on the ready on the border. They're both into higher levels of preparation for war, and something bad's going to happen maybe here, and we're stuck in the middle. We're absolutely stuck in the middle. I hope Obama doesn't go in. That's all I can say. Tell you something interesting about China very quickly here, because we're running out of time. Panda bears. You know, at the Smithsonian National Zoo in Washington this past week, Maya Yang, a big giant panda bear, had a 5-ounce baby panda. I didn't know baby pandas only weighed 4 or 5 ounces. This is a big, exciting thing because it's hard for a panda to have a baby that survives in captivity. Everyone is excited. This is a big deal. Do you know that all the pandas and all the zoos in the United States are owned by China and not the United States. You heard me. All the panda bears and all the zoos in the United States are owned by China, not the United States. China more and more owns this country. We owe them so much money. Every time we need money, we borrow it from China. And guess what? We can never pay back China all the money we owe them. It is a mathematical impossibility for us to ever pay all that money back. So China owns the pandas, and they own our banks, too. All right. What do we got here? I got a minute and a half. I'm going to tell you something crazy that Governor Scott wants to do here in Florida. He wants urine tests for high school athletes. You heard me. To make sure they're not using performance-enhancing drugs or steroids. Remember, Scott was in the urine testing business. That's how he made his millions before he became governor. The Florida Athletic Association supports it. The only problem is there doesn't appear to be any drug problem in the high school, so why do it? It's a $42 million a year expenditure. The state says they won't pay it. They want the local people to pay it. They did a test a couple of years ago. The state spent $100,000. They tested 600 athletes. Guess how many had a steroid problem? One. There is no problem, but this is being pushed now for high school students, I think, in Florida. I think it is absolutely crazy. That is the show for this week. I'm glad you joined me. I'm sorry I was a few minutes late. I keep having a problem getting in. I'll have it worked out hopefully by next week. Enjoy your week. Watch my television show on Friday morning. Read my blog every day, keywestlew.com. It tells you how to find everything I do, from what I write to television to blog talk radio. I'm glad you joined me again. I look forward to talking with you next week.